Today in the interrogation chair, it's Oklahoma native Libby Cudmore, where she talks about her latest novel, Negative Girl, a story she's writing for an anthology I'm editing, her super fun podcast, The OST Party, and her love for the band Steely Dan. Hang on for some fun, folks, and welcome to the Dossier Podcast.
No writers were harmed in the production of this podcast.
I'm Libby Cudmore, and this is my writer's dossier.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Writer's Dossier. And today on the program, we have Libby Cudmore. You're not going to believe this interview. It is going to be fantastic. You're going to love it. Libby, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You are the best. Hey, listen, so you have a simply glorious wardrobe. And every time I see you at a writer's conference or at a wherever event that you are doing, you always turn a lot of heads. And so... Now, the dossier has only gone so far in our very limited investigation due to our respect for personal privacy, but what does your closet look like? Are we talking like a shotgun aisle closet with racks on both sides, or did you have to knock on a wall and bust through the guest room? What are we talking about here?
I have such a curated wardrobe. Like, I don't have anything that I don't wear, and I usually give away about 3 bags of last season's clothes every year. So when you see me at a conference, that's actually like what I wear every day. But it is very curated. It's very small. I'm not showing off the full goods today, but I am wearing a sort of customized a vintage Betsy Johnson.
Vintage, very nice.
Little black dress from my Brooklyn days.
Everyone's wondering, we took an informal survey here at the dossier staff, and everyone wants to know, do you own a Minnie Mouse costume?
I don't, but I have a Jessica Rabbit one.
Jessica Rabbit. That's even better because, wow, the more we can say Disney on this program, the more it's going to kick the algorithm and bounce us up to like number two behind Joe Rogan. But Jessica Rabbit, what's the deal there, Libby?
I went as her for Halloween in college, and I don't think I still have the costume because I had to be sewn into it, but I still have the base corset piece that my friend kind of put her foot on my back and just yanked, and then we fit the dress to that. I still got the Roger, though. He's up on my shelf. You can't quite see him. There he is.
Up there. There you go. Roger.
That's my date.
Trouble. Nothing but trouble, that one. Hey, this is a writer's podcast, and we do things a little left-turny here, but let's get right into your writing resume. Your second novel, Negative Girl, from Detour, is out now, and that follows the Big Rewind that came out in 2016 by William Morrow. So
yes.
You've also written a lot of short stories, Wade and Jack's PI series for Ellery Queen, Hitchcock, Tough. What's Negative Girl about, and why did you write it?
Well, it's about my PI, Martin Wade, uh-huh. who's a former punk turned PI, sort of a Paul Westerberg, Raymond Chandler type, or Philip Marlowe, I guess.
Yes, love it.
And his old bandmate shows up, and his bandmate's daughter goes missing and is found drowned in the river. So he is forced to take the case and sort of confront some elements of his past that are somewhat unsavory.
Well, you have a whole bandmate music thing going. And mm-hmm. I mean, Negative Girl is named after a song by...
Steely Dan. Two Against Nature, their Grammy-winning album. Go.
There's a whole story. We're going to get into that in a minute, but I want to stick on your writing. The thing that you're writing right now is a short story for a new anthology that's coming out. It's about good people doing bad things. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it Myopic Duplicity. Do the ends ever justify the means? And you're going to be in it. And can you give us a little hint? Or are you going to keep it clamped down?
I'm going to say that I don't know if the character in this is fully a good person. I think she would think she is. I think she starts out doing not what, I mean, I think what some people would consider a bad thing, but she gets blackmailed into doing something worse. So she has to pull herself out of that. So it's almost like good people having to come from and confront and face the bad things they've done to get out of worse things.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait for people to read that story.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me in that anthology.
Are you kidding? You're one of the gems. You're going to stand right out. I'm so excited. So again, thank you. Back to Negative Girl. Hey, 19. You and Jay Carnes co-read your second novel, Negative Girl, for the audiobook. What was that process like? Because you're really comfortable behind the mic.
Well, it was, I mean, it was great. Jay and I go way back. He's so cool. He's so sweet. He's devastatingly funny.
Tell people who he is.
Well, Jay sort of most famously played Dutch Wagenbach on The Shield, which is my favorite show. It's my obsession.
Nice.
And I had always written Martin sort of for him as, you know, like Martin's cadence, his look all sort of comes from Jay. And, you know, Jay and I had stayed friends, developed a very genuine Twitter friendship and then a real life friendship when we got to meet up and we talk on the phone. And he had read The Big Rewind and really enjoyed it, which was so sweet of him. And I had sent him the first Martin Wade story, All Shook Down. And he's like, I love this. I love this character. You're fucking brilliant. Yeah. And so I kind of kept writing. That kind of spurred me on. I'm like, well, I have to keep impressing Jay.
Don't let me down.
Just like, I have to keep showing up for you. And then when we got the book deal, we got the audiobook, I got to call him up and say, like, will you read for Martin? And he said, absolutely. And he nailed it. He just absolutely nailed it. I think I do okay. He steals the show. I'm serviceable. He's in character.
So that is so awesome.
I cried when I first heard his voice. Like I burst into tears.
That's wonderful. I love that story because I talk to a lot of people who barely even know their audiobook narrator, much less have someone who they got to talk to and say, hey, would you do it? And then they said yes. And they know this person. That's good for you.
That was like a weird sort of non-negotiable for me. I was just like, it has to be Jay. It can't be anybody else. Like I wrote it for him.
And there you have it.
He was wonderful.
No Twizzlers in the green room for Libby Cudmore. She just wants Jay Carnes.
That's how to get me to watch any TV show. That's my weakness right there.
All right. We mentioned it earlier. You have a little bit of an obsession and it's gone so far as to one of the best library experiences I've ever had outside of that time when I was a freshman in college was the Carmel Clay Public Library in Carmel, Indiana. And I'm here to tell you that this place is amazing. I was there for an author event and just driving up to the place was breathtaking. The facility itself is unbelievable. Like, is this a public library or a beautiful candy store monument for books? Inside, we got a personal tour from Elizabeth Hamilton, who I like to say runs things there. And they not only have a vast collection, but they also have a stunning list of programs and events that will rival anything out there. Please support your public library. Many of you remember going to the library as a kid. Chances are, it's still there, waiting to offer you a portal into another world we can all cherish. And if you happen to be in Carmel, Indiana, or anywhere nearby, the Carmel Clay Library is well worth the trip. Learn more at carmelclaylibrary.org. You getting involved and co-hosting another podcast. It's called The OST Party, which is back, by the way. People need to check that out on Podbeam. Yeah. Your co-host, Joe, calls you, and I quote, lovely and belligerent. Why did Joe choose those two descriptors? There had to be something that went into that.
Well, because I consider myself like a very lovely person. I'm very charming. I'm very like pretty. Like I seem very delicate, but like there are some things that if you just like wind me up about, I get like extremely volatile. And also because I think it's very funny when a girl who's 5'3" just pounces like a cat. For me, it's the funniest thing to do to just like absolutely get so belligerent over ska bands or Randy Newman or we had a really long, again, sort of one-sided feud because I didn't know we existed with the band Smash Mouth, and then Steve Smash Mouth died and like I felt kind of bad and then I was like, no, I don't feel bad. Like I sucked.
Well, I mean, it is. I've listened to the OST Party, and I mean, you guys go into some deep cuts, and so it's a little esoteric. But holy cow, you will say something, or Joel will say something, and I mean, the audience has got to be thinking, that's exactly what I'm going with this. So it's really cool. People should check it out. You guys cover movie soundtracks of the 80s and 90s. I feel very strongly about the music of the 80s. Is there a better decade for music?
I've got a real soft spot for the late 90s, because it was just such a weird time where you just heard so many weird different types of music on the radio as we were trying to figure out what the next big thing is. So there'd be swing revival, and then you'd hear Jewel, and then you'd hear Barbie Girl, and then you'd hear Ricky Martin, and then you'd it was just, you didn't know what was coming next, and none of it sounded alike. And I love that. I loved that era. And now, and I recognize also that I'm 1,000 years old, but if you played a song and you're like, that's Dua Lipa, I would be like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what Olivia Rodrigo is. I know none of, I'm content with being old. I've reached that age where I'm just old. I'm good with that.
I wouldn't have known who Dua Lipa is either, but she performed with Andrea Bocelli in Columbus. I mean, she was amazing. He was understandably unbelievable. But you don't just go mid-90s. You go even deeper. Is it true that the organizers of the band Steely Dan, the fan club, did they create the Steely Dan super fan club just for you?
I created the Steely Dan super fan. I was into it. I really, really was. I got back into that. I grew up listening to Steely Dan. Obviously, I have a boomer dad, so of course I grew up listening to Steely Dan. But I really take a lot of credit for bringing that back and for bringing records back. I was into it sort of before everybody else got back into it. And I have a group chat with some other girls. We call ourselves the Babylon Sisters. And we started as sort of a yacht rock fan group. We all loved the YouTube series Yacht Rock, Channel 101 show, and also loved the music. And we've met up over the years. We haven't all met in one place, but there was one night where the West Coast contingent went and saw Michael McDonald, Kenny Loggins, and Christopher Cross. And the East Coast contingent was seeing Steely Dan with the Doobie Brothers. At the same time, we were watching these Yacht Rock super shows. We called it the Yacht Rock Rapture. It was really, really neat. But we've been friends for more than a decade, and we send each other memes and dumb stuff on Instagram. we've really been there for each other. It's great.
It's one
of my older, there's a handful of us that I've known from the beginning of my time on Twitter. Now I'm on Blue Sky. Obviously Jay among them, but there's a lot of people I know. Like I said, the Babylon Sisters have been my friends for ever.
You got to stick together. Yeah. And we've talked about this before. The Yacht Rock station on Sirius XM, it's a departure. You're not digging it, right?
No, it's they don't, just because it takes place on a boat doesn't make it yacht rock. Jimmy Buffett isn't yacht rock. And for a long time, I will say, there was a very strict divide between the yacht rock fans and the Parrot Heads. It was like a war. But the Parrot Heads really came out in full when Walter Becker died. And so we extended all of our condolences when Jimmy Buffett died. So we are now united as one.
There we go. I love it. Consolidate that.
I credit my friend Juanita with that one, Juanita Critch.
Shout out to Juanita. Hey, let's stick on the music theme here. We're going to jump right into Rapid Fire. It's the music and movies edition. Hats off to me. I love these questions.
I'm so excited.
It's the only reason I do this show. It's all for me. I'm the only person who's giving any stars and ratings on Spotify. So check this out. Okay, Rapid Fire. First one, you choose Glory of Love by Peter Cetera from the movie Karate Kid, the soundtrack, or Power of Love by Huey Lewis and the News from the Back to the Future.
Power of Love, absolutely. I think that song should be the national anthem.
Yes! All right, Debbie Gibson or Tiffany?
I've got a real soft spot for Tiffany. I love I Think We're Alone Now. I just think it's adorable. It's just such a cute song.
There you go. Kelly LeBrock in Weird Science or Jennifer Beals in Flashdance?
Jennifer Beals in Flashdance, absolutely. Ooh. 100%.
Go out and get that arc welding license. Okay.
Yeah. Flashdance is such a weird, weird, weird movie, though, because if you scratch even slightly below the surface, it's a movie that makes absolutely no sense at all. You're just sure, I'm going to go to this dive bar with, 25-cent cans and clams and watch the weirdest fucking dance routine I've ever seen in my life. Maybe get doused with a bucket of water while I'm trying to eat nacho is like, sure, cool.
Around here, we just call that a Wednesday night. Let's learn more about Libby Cudmore. Pretty in Pink or Breakfast Club? What do you got? Neither.
Absolutely neither. nope. Here's the thing. Pretty in Pink, to someone who dresses the way I do, is it's a traumatic film. She takes that beautiful 1950s prom dress and makes it into that like weird rectangular bag. It needs a trigger warning.
Okay.
For me, that's like watching Saw.
What about Ally Sheedy in Breakfast Club then? I mean, you're wearing the same thing right now.
No, she's got that big baggy sweater. Like, I never, ever, ever wear anything baggy. I dress like Elvira.
I could see you putting pixie sticks, though, in a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Maybe. But no, even that one, I just like, I once saw a local production of The Breakfast Club, though. They put on, like, the play, and they changed everything and removed all the drug references, and it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, let's not go to that show. All right,
Community theater is a magical blessing.
Magical something. All right, Stand By Me, The Goonies, or E.T.? Phone home.
The Goonies. It's always going to be, Cyndi Lauper, I mean, obvious.
Goonies never die.
E.T. just like never rocked my world. I saw it when I was a kid. It made my dad cry, which I always think like E.T. makes my dad cry. And then I saw it during the pandemic at our drive-in, and I fell asleep. I'm just like, this movie is just not for me. I was just there kind of because I'd never seen Jaws, and Jaws was the second feature. My dad would never let me watch Jaws. No, but like I didn't even like as an adult, I was just like, I'm not allowed to watch Jaws. And it's like, you own a home. You're 38 years old. You could go see Jaws.
Do what you want, Libby.
I know, but like even this day, like my husband's like, we should watch The Exorcist, and I'm like, I can't watch The Exorcist. My dad says I can. I'm like, me too. I can watch The Exorcist.
Libby Cudmore, folks, she might disappear off social media in the event that she ever does watch any of those Psycho or anything like that.
I've seen Psycho. I did see Psycho. I think for college class. But yeah, I think The Exorcist is like the last remaining, like Libby's not allowed to watch this film. I did see Alien when I was in my late 20s.
All right, last one. Here we go. Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing or Kevin Bacon in Footloose?
Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing, obviously. I have like a thing with Kevin Bacon where in sort of rapid succession as a teenager, I saw Wild Things and then I saw Hollow Man. And I was very much like kind of a late bloomer. And I hadn't seen, like, I didn't get kissed till I was 15. Like, I definitely did not see any of that until much later. And so seeing like Kevin Bacon's penis sort of non-consensually, I didn't want to see either of those movies. I was sort of talked into watching Wild Things by a bunch of boys at a party. I mean, they put it on so that they could see hot chicks. And it was just like, it was weird and uncomfortable. And they were all older than me. And then my friend Caitlin was like, let's go see Hollow Man. I'm like, let's rent Little Shop of Horrors instead. She's like, no, we watched Little Shop of Horrors like 15 times. I'm like, I know, but it's a good movie. And then you see his like bacon flopping around all over the place, and it traumatized me. And so my husband had to like hold my hand and assure me that you do not see Kevin Bacon take his pants off in Footloose. So I didn't see Footloose until I was in my 30s. Like, I was just like, I couldn't do it. I was too scared. And then even when we saw Tremors, I'm like, he doesn't take out his penis in this, right? And he's like, no. And then the first shot is him like taking a piss, and it's from the behind. And I was like, Ian, he's like, you don't see anything. I'm like,
it's okay.
I know it's there. So I just like, Kevin Bacon, if you're listening, I'm sure you're a nice guy, but I really didn't want to see your penis when I was 15 years old.
Hold on. Breaking news here. Kevin Bacon is calling in. Kira Sedgwick just handed him the phone. A little inside behind the dossier curtain here. I didn't see Footloose until well into my 30s or 40s myself. That's a whole different story.
I think Footloose is a great film. I think Footloose is the answer we need to toxic masculinity. I think every song in it is great. It's such a great film. It just took me too long to watch it.
There we go.
I didn't actually see Dirty Dancing until I was in my 20s. I'm a Roadhouse girly. 100%.
Dalton. She's like the wind, whatever. Dalton. Yeah, there we go.
Roadhouse is, she's like the wind is in Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
Raising Heaven and Hell Tonight. That's the Patrick Swayze song that is in Roadhouse.
See, this is the inside Libby Cudmore mind here is going deep.
I love Roadhouse so much. When I go to Barrel House Rider Camp, I make everybody watch Roadhouse, like to a point where it's almost like bullying. My friend Andrew was like, we should watch. I'm like, shut the fuck up. We're watching Roadhouse. Sorry. What's your name again?
Roadhouse.
I'm Libby,
again.
By the way. And we're watching Roadhouse. And he was like, you're right. This was an amazing movie. It's a transformative experience watching Roadhouse with a bunch of drunk writers.
Well, here's a funny story about artsy, or well, not writers, but have you heard the story about Roadhouse and Kelly Lynch?
Yes. With Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, yeah.
My...
he calls him up. Whenever it's on, he calls him up. Your wife's about to have sex. He's hilarious.
I know. It's funny because there's supposedly a 3-hour, the original cut of Roadhouse is 3 hours long.
Oh, that's not going to work. Maybe for you. You would love it. You would love it.
I would absolutely love it. And as your president, like my presidential platform, aside from like Medicare for all and rights for everybody, my presidential platform is part of my inauguration day celebration is that we will broadcast the 3-hour cut of Roadhouse, the Rowdy Harrington cut of Roadhouse. Vote for Libby Cudmore and the 3-hour cut of Roadhouse.
And this will happen. There you go, yes. Folks. You want to see some Roadhouse? Vote for Libby Cudmore.
Yeah, I'm all about like restored work prints and things. I just screened the restored work print of the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Bing, bing.
For some friends. So I am all about that. I want to see the 3-hour work print cut.
Well, you are so cool. People need to find you more, and they can go to LibbyCudmore.com, right? Mm-hmm. They can follow you on Blue Sky, and where else are you?
I'm Instagram. Also on Instagram. I don't post as much as I used to.
Yeah.
But Blue Sky is probably the best place to find me. And I talk about Roadhouse there a lot, too. And Mr. Novels and The Replacements and The Shield.
I know we follow each other on Blue Sky and wherever I can find you, whether it's at a writer's conference or wherever. But
I'm going to see you at Thriller Fest, right?
No,
that's right.
Sorry. Going to BoucherCon this year.
That's right. And you're doing BoucherCon. I'm not.
Left Coast Crime and the Chicago Conference.
Yeah. I'm hoping to go to Chicago.
I hope so, too. I hope to see you there.
Yeah, because I want to catch up with you.
Awesome. That would be so great. We'll have to get a picture together again.
Absolutely.
Libby, thank you so much for taking the time. It's always great to see you and hear you. And people need to check out all your work and keep an eye on. You've got something else coming up next. Everybody just follow, like, subscribe, share, hit those bells and buttons and let everybody know, let Libby know that you're right there. You're following. Not Absolutely. Quite as close as the dossier would be with her whole closet situation, but no. don't miss a thing Libby Cudmore does and watch for that anthology too. So thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. This was wonderful.
All right. Well, hey, see you around. Thanks,
yes,
everybody.
I'll see you around.